Thank you, Jesus, that we get to look into your ancient word once more time. Give us wisdom in our hearts as to how to receive and allow your word to mold us and to change us. Thank you for all that you've done and for the fact that we do get to meet together as a body and worship you together. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, before I get started, there's a couple things are going to happen. I'd like you all to be thinking about, if you haven't figured out, today's theme is the Word of God. And I'd like you to be thinking about scriptures that have changed your life in some way. Scriptures that have spoken into you, given you strength or guidance or wisdom or something that's been helpful from God's Word. Because if we really believe that God's Word is revelation from the creator of the universe, and he's trying to talk to us personally, he cares about each of us individually, then let's have a conversation with him. Well, the way you have that conversation is getting into his word. So as you've done that in your life, what's spoken to you, what's helped you? And at the end of the sermon, I'm going to turn off the recorder, and hopefully we can have a little bit of sharing time, and some of you can share passages. So if I see you thumbing through your Bibles and stuff and looking for things in the middle of it, I'll know what you're doing and it'll make sense. And if you're on your app, I'm pretty sure you'll probably be just working on your Bible app and not looking at updates for the Seahawks game or something. So anyway, before we do the sermon though, there's the COVID-19 update. We haven't done that yet today, and I'd like to make sure we get that in every week, you know. It's been a crazy week. So, as we look around what's happening in the United States right now, some churches are being fined, and substantially, like tens of thousands of dollars. Church leaders are being threatened and fined. They're being threatened to be imprisoned. They're being threatened in all kinds of ways. There's Los Angeles County has a long-term lease with a church, and they're trying to renege on that lease in retaliation for the church meeting. So there's all kinds of things that are happening in the world right now. Some churches are opening in defiance of court orders. Grace Community Church, the fifth time going to court in the last month, lost this last round. I think that whoever has the ear of the judge finally wore him down. That's how I see it. I don't know. He didn't really have any new information to change and flip, but that's where he went with it. And so now Grace Community Church this morning has already met, from my understanding, and they have two services on Sunday mornings and one on Sunday evenings, and they're meeting in person inside in defiance to this court order. I don't know what the courts, the county, the health department, all of those people are going to do about that. But that's where that's happening right now. So be in prayer for all of the different congregations, especially in California, where they're having, I think, more stringent requirements thrown on them. The judge, in his findings, said that they could not meet indoors at all, and the only way they could meet outdoors is if they did social distancing, wore masks, and had some other things. He put quite a few stipulations on it. John MacArthur and his board basically said, no, we're not going to be able to do that. We're meeting together. You don't have the evidence to prove that. I mean, they've been meeting together for a couple months now with, you know, 3,000 to 5,000, 7,000 people, and there haven't been any cases at all of COVID that have come out of that. So if they are the massive spreader that the county keeps trying to pretend that they are, it's not happening. I don't know if it's because of a miracle from God or coincidence or something's being hidden. I mean, we don't know all of that. God knows. Okay. And then there's some churches are opening while following guidelines. I don't know if you realize up and down the valley here, not all churches have been open as long as we have. We were able to open following guidelines prior to Father's Day outdoors, and then on Father's Day and since we've been indoors. Crosswater Church down in Sultan they're meeting for the first time today. They have a early and a later service, so they had a 9 o'clock that they met, and then they're doing a 10:45. And this is their first indoor meeting. They've had some outside. They've had some distancing. They've had some online things. But this is their first one indoors. Pray for them that everyone will love each other and be excited to be back together again. We have a couple from our church that has chosen to go there and had a reservation. They RSVP'd for one of those services today. So be in prayer for the Taylors. We want everyone to be finding their place in how to love and serve God. And that's kind of important. But other churches are opening and following the guidelines. And so we've got churches opening from not following, churches opening, following. Some churches still are not opened. With Village Missions, we've got a couple churches this week that are closed because of smoke and fire. We probably have, a dozen different missionary couples have been evacuated from their fields because of various different fires in California and Oregon. I don't think any Washington fields have been evacuated. There's one gentleman, a pastor, is trying to stay in his community because not everybody left even though they were supposed to evacuate. There's no power, there's no water, there's no phone service, everything's down. So he's driving outside the area to get cell service, to call all of the different families to let them know that their family members are still alive and okay. So he's going back and forth with that, and that's his way of serving that community right now. Others are working in the shelters with Red Cross or whoever else. So there's a lot of things happening in this world right now. There's flooding, you name it. It's kind of... I had a gal ask me this week in Skokomish here. I was delivering some food from the food bank, and she said, "Tony, is this the last time? So is this the end times?" Mm-hmm. And then her next question was, "Do we have to go through the tribulation?" Now, if we get to vote, I vote no. I'm definitely voting for pre-trib, but that's all in God's hands too. And then her next question, it's kind of, as she's looking at all this, she's obviously been reading the Word, and she says, "What does it mean that we have to maintain until the end? We are supposed to be able to make it. It sounds like we're going to be going through something." Well, if you don't feel like you've been going through something in life, you're not paying attention. Scripture says, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. That's a scriptural promise. So when trouble and trials and tribulation come your way, it's like, okay, well, thank you, Lord. Your word is true. He also promises that he's overcome everything and he'll take you through it. So there's good news all the way around. For more COVID training, I wanted to do scriptural training on COVID. What are some of the verses that we should probably apply to our own hearts? What are some of the verses that we could have in our own hearts and minds as we think about how do we respond to other people in the churches, in the community? Right now, everything seems to be politicized. You're picking one side or the other side, and things are kind of going just nuts or crazy. How do we love one another? How do we care for one another? And so, Ephesians 5:21, I've been talking about that for quite a few weeks in a row now, and here it is again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If we can't learn how to do that, if we can't learn to submit to one another, and believe it or not, that's one of the problems our nation has right now. If you look at what's happening politically, if you look at what's happening on the streets, the protests and things, there's a whole lot of people feeling like they somehow are above the law. They don't have to submit to any kind of authority. And the more that happens, the more we're in danger of having some tyrant take over. And Hitler or whoever else, they gain power because the general populace says, we can't take what's going on around us. Somebody fix this. And you know what? We are not going to find a person that can fix the world's problems. We're not going to find a person that can fix the craziness, the chaos, the disregard for one another. We need to find in our own hearts the ability to submit to one another, to love one another. Galatians 5:13 and the second half, serve one another humbly in love. And then 1 Peter, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because there's a reason we need to do this. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So do we want to be on the side of God, or do we want to be opposing Him? Because God's opposing the proud. If we think we're too good for the people around us, and our ideas and our thoughts and our understanding is so much better than theirs, and I have a tendency to go there. It's like, okay, I can look at everybody and I can see what your problems are. I bet you can't see my problems, right? Okay. I mean, we can usually see each other's problems pretty well, but we can't always see our own problems. And that's part of why we need the body of Christ, submitting to one another. Part of submitting to one another in reverence to Christ is iron sharpening iron. You see issues with one of your brothers and sisters in Christ? Go to them in love, in humility, and try to win them back. Now, if we go to them saying, I know what Scripture says and you're not following it, and we start trying to beat them over the head with God's Word, that's a misuse of God's Word. But we go to people in love and we say, I think you're showing an attitude that puts you above everyone else, or I think that you're getting stained by the world. And we're not supposed to be conformed to the world around us, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we can prove what that good and purpose and perfect will of God is. So this is, it's applicable to COVID training. Not as funny as some of the slides I've been able to come up with, but I think it's appropriate. Thank you, Jesus. As we continue in your word, help again for my words to be reflective of what you would like to say today, Lord Jesus. Amen. The text today is the second half of Ephesians 5:26. Yes, Susie.
I have a couple of prayer requests.
Okay.
My son-in-law is mother, who is 94 years old, fell and broke her hip. She's living on her own. They did surgery yesterday, and as what I understand is that they did a complete hip replacement.
Okay.
And she's doing great. But I would like for her, she's a very devout Christian, I would like for her, or for us to pray for her. The other people that are on my mind, ever since I read the announcement, was the young couple in the county that their child, 1 year old, they were flooding her, not trying to get out of there. She has also lost her baby, not that she was carrying, and the little boy. So she's has, I believe it was 50% of her body. Was covered in burns. She's not doing well. And the husband is doing better than she is. He's had a couple of surgeries.
Okay.
But their hearts have to be
broken.
Absolutely broken.
Yeah.
I can, as a mother, I cannot fathom what they have gone through. So
let's do that now. Father God, you know the old and you know the young, and you know the pain in the middle. And Lord Jesus, I just ask for healing of the hearts, for peace that surpasses understanding, for physical healing as well, and for an ability to move forward. We know that all things work together for good, and yet we look at things that the circumstances that don't feel like anything good could come out of them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you can comfort and touch this young couple's heart and bring them to a place of understanding and knowledge of your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Did I cut you off? I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Cleansing through the Word. So we're going to look at the second half of verse 26. But prior to that, jumping back to my one of my favorites from chapter 5 is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Of course, submit is voluntarily making yourself available or deploying yourself for the benefit and defense of others. If we're going to submit to one another, how do we cover each other? It says in Scripture that love covers a multitude of sins. I know that we're living among sinners. You're living among sinners. All of us have a tendency towards not following God's perfect will. And so when these things are happening, how do we place ourselves, deploy ourselves in a position to defend, help, preserve, improve, encourage those around us? That's really what submission is all about. And in that context, we get this passage about husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. It's a lot there. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. That washing with water thing is hard for me to understand, so I'm going to not just glaze over it. I'll tell you, it's hard to understand. What it feels like to me, because it's like, okay, why didn't he just say cleansing her through the word? Because that's kind of the part that I understand better, is how God's word, his holy word, will improve us and help us. But through the washing of water, and I think this is reflecting back on a picture of something in Hebrew culture where prior to the marriage, a woman would be betrothed for marriage, okay? Like Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And it was a long period before the wedding. But they were committed to one another at that point. Sometimes the wedding would happen right away, but sometimes it'd be up to a year or so in between. And prior to the actual wedding ceremony, there would be a cleansing ceremony. But even before going into the cleansing water, the bride would cleanse herself before going into the water. So she'd go into the water clean. If you think about Esther, she's getting ready to spend time, she thinks, she hopes, with a king. And what was the whole process was months of washing and cleansing and purifying and perfuming and preparing. And so I'm guessing, and I'm going to tell you, I don't 100% understand it, but I'm guessing that cleansing her by the washing with water has a lot to do, that washing with water has a lot to do with being prepared to even hear God's word. How can we be cleansed by God's word if when we read God's word, it's just a bunch of words? Have you ever read scripture, you've read the Bible, and it's like, okay, I'm not getting it, I don't see anything here. It's not there. And so how do we prepare ourselves even for letting God's Holy Scripture speak to us? I'm thinking that's what that's about. And I know that there's times where sin in our life or something else is separating us from what God's trying to do or say through his word. And so we don't see it. I know that if I mistreat my wife, it says in Scripture that my prayers won't be heard. There's things that can come between us and God and keep us from hearing from him. And how do we break those barriers? We confess. We give ourselves back to him and say, Lord, you know, maybe your confession is, I don't even know what I did, Lord, but I know I'm living in a dirty, crazy world and I need some cleaning. Can you clean me? And he will. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. When I think about the word of God, there's so many verses, there's so many different places that we can go. Obviously, all of it's the word of God, so I could just jump right into all of it. Something that speaks to that is 2 Timothy. So if you're trying to follow along in your pew Bibles, you might get there before I do. I didn't put tabs in today. I'm just going to have to look things up. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be on page 1818. 1818. Starting with verse 14, But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. I'm going to stop there before I continue on, because there's a more familiar section here, but just to remind you, 2 Timothy, this is a book that was written by Paul, a letter that was written by Paul to a young pastor, Timothy. And Paul's reminding Timothy that he was raised by a godly mom and a godly grandma. He'd mentioned that earlier, and this is one of those situations that's, it's like, how do you know Scripture is true? I believe Scripture is infallible. I believe that Scripture is 100% true. There's no question in my mind. But one of the best ways that I know it is because my mom and dad told me. I have to give credit to God for placing me in a home that taught me the proper way of how to approach Scripture. Because my mama told me is not a bad answer. You know, I think the world would be better off if most kids listened to their parents. Maybe there's a few that shouldn't, but in this case, Timothy was properly raised. And it says, and then how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. His mom, his grandma, had taught him to know Scripture from infancy. This is something that was just part of his life the whole time growing up. How many of you have had that privilege of knowing Scripture, knowing God from godly parents? From the beginning. It's a beautiful thing. If you didn't get that, that's okay. God can make all things work for good. But in this situation, you know, Timothy had come from some pretty good stock. He'd come from a place where they knew Scripture. And then Paul reminds Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. When Christ laid his life down for us, he was cleansing us for a purpose. He was purifying us. He was giving us the ability to be holy. He was sanctifying us. He was setting us apart. And it was according to his word. In John 17, I mentioned this, I think, last week. It might have been a couple weeks ago. John 17, it's the true Lord's Prayer. John 17, where Jesus prays to be glorified. He's in the garden, and he's trying to prepare himself for going to the cross. And as he's doing this, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's John 17:17, page 1651 in your pew Bible. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Why would the word help us be more holy? Why would the word help us be who we need to be? Well, it's because it's truth. How many people are seeking truth and not finding it? How often do you spend time with somebody and you get done with the conversation and you realize that they're not being truthful with you? The way of the world is, you know, let's find a way to bend or reinterpret everything so that it puts the individual that's doing the speaking in a better light, instead of speaking the truth. Sometimes we go to somebody and they need a word of exhortation. They may need a word of rebuke. But we hold back because we're worried more about how other people think of us than we are about the truth. Now obviously there's times to not cast your pearls before the swine. There's times to, if at all possible, live peaceably with all. I understand all that. We're not supposed to be going around picking fights. But there's times where you're with somebody, a fellow brother or sister in Christ, someone you're close with, that you've earned the opportunity to speak into their life. And we choose not to speak into their life because we don't want to lose their approval. We choose the approval of man over the approval of God. And the truth gets sacrificed from that. And Jesus is just saying, you know, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So how do we make sure that when we are rebuking or exhorting somebody that we're doing it in the proper manner? We need to come with humility. The scripture's real clear about that. We need to realize that we could be tempted to fall into the same sin if we're not careful. We need to also know that it's got to come from the word. If it doesn't match the word, and I don't mean trying to find a verse that matches your opinion, okay? There's people use God's word in all kinds of ways. Okay? It can be a proof text for, I've got this life philosophy, I have this opinion, I have this thought. Where's a verse that matches that? Let me find one. And then you go and you take a verse out of context that matches your opinion perfectly, and you take that and you beat people over the head with it and say it's from Scripture, this is God's Word. We've got to be careful we don't do that. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. We need to properly connect the places that connect in God's Word. Psalm 119. How many of you have ever read through Psalm 119? It's got 176 verses. It's a nice poem. Hebrew poem. And it's an acrostic poem. It uses all of the Hebrew alphabet to try to teach about God's Word. This entire psalm is really, out of 176 verses, at least 173 of them mention in one way or another God's Word. If you're struggling with understanding God's Word, this might be a good place to start. Go there and find some of the verses that will speak into your life about how do we approach God's Word, what do we need to do with God's Word. In verse 105, I think we sang about this today, didn't we? Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. We can use God's word for guidance. As a lamp, as a light. If we don't know where we're going or what we're doing, we might trip. We might fall. We might go off the path and go somewhere else. But with God's word, we can light up that path. We can know the proper way to go. We can live the life that He's designed us to live. Also in Psalm 119, and again, I could use all 176 verses, but I don't have time for that this morning. And you all say amen, right? Verse 11, another pretty familiar verse here from Psalm 119, page 942. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to be sanctified, take God's word and hide it in your heart. Okay, now some of you are really good at memorizing. You can take and put it in your head. And oftentimes that's a good way to get it locked in so that you can get it to your heart. But there's ways to look at God's Word and understand the heart of God from His Word. And let that sink deep, deep into your person, into your being. I've hidden your Word in my heart so I won't sin against you, God. Now, it's one thing to say that, it's another thing to do it. How are we going to do it? We need to spend time in His Word, know His Word, and listen to His Word, and be doers of the Word. All of those things that are, again, in Scripture. In Romans 10, again, I'm just taking a few. There are so many places we could go, but maybe I should extend this to 10 more weeks. Romans 10, 17. It's on page 1729 in the Pew Bible. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Even faith, even our understanding of knowing God's mercy and His grace comes from hearing the word. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, we need faith then, right? But how are we going to get faith? Through the word. through the message, through the preaching of the word. That's one reason when Village Mission sends missionaries out, they say, you've got twofold ministry, preach the word and love the people. It's kind of the same thing. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach the word. Colossians 3. And verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's from the ESV or King James. Colossians 3:16 in the New International Version. Therefore do not, I'm in chapter 2, forgive me, verse Chapter 3, verse 16, page 1800. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. This is something as we allow God's word to dwell richly in us, it's for the purpose of submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's for the purpose of preaching and teaching and loving each other. This isn't something that we do in a cave or you know, often in our you know, private space. This is something that's done in community. Psalm 19, jumping back to the Psalms. I love Psalm 19 because it talks a lot about different ways that God reveals himself to us through the heavens and through all sorts of different ways, through other people. But there's a section in here, verses 7 through 11, we're on page 839 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. It's another way of saying God's word, his law, his word. It's perfect. And what does it do? It refreshes the soul. Does your soul need refreshed? If our soul is refreshed, we're going to be able to be cleansed by the word, through the word, so that we can be of benefit to those people around us. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord, another way of saying God's word, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Simple people can approach God and look at his word and read his statutes and they can be made wise. The precepts of the Lord, another word for God's word. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. If you have joy in your heart, it's probably because you've been paying attention to God's word, and there's all kinds of reasons in here. There's promises that can bring you joy. The commands, another way of saying God's word. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They light your path, make your way straight. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. If you don't see God's word as desirable, if you don't delight in God's word, if you don't see it as precious and pure and sweet, just spend more time in his word. Open your heart to his word. Allow his word to purify and cleanse you. And then verse 11 in Psalm 19, by them, by the word of God, by his decrees, by his statutes, by his precepts, by them, your servant is warned. You've been given a warning. In keeping them, there's great reward. Now, if you've been given a warning and you don't heed the warning, usually it's followed by some sort of punishment or problems. If you look at what's going on in a lot of these cities, you know, Portland, Seattle, wherever else you want to go, Washington, D.C., you can pick a place. and there's peaceful protests happening, and then all of a sudden a few people decide to get out of line, get out of control, they start throwing explosives and all kinds of things are happening, and there's looting and broken windows, and the police declare it a riot, and they say, you must disperse. That's the warning. Well, in keeping that warning, there's great reward. You get to get away so that you can come back and peacefully protest the next day. You get the opportunity to keep your voice. But you lose your voice if you continually disregard the warning. Scripture's like that. The scripture gives us all kinds of ideas about, you know, if you live this way, this is going to happen. If you live this way, something else will happen. You know, we shouldn't fear the consequences of fearing the Lord. If we know Him, we know He loves us. If we know Him, we know He's slow to anger. If we know Him, we know that He's going to do everything He can to purify and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and from all of the stains of the world. In keeping God's decrees, there's great reward. And I've got pages more of verses that I can go to, but I'm thinking I'm going to close now, and hopefully you've been thinking about what verses has God used in your life to bring you to a new place, to a new point. Father, thank You for Your word. We are so grateful, so happy that we can have revelation from the Creator and Sustainer of all things. Amen.